Authorities in both Great Britain and Egypt have been pursuing leads in separate terrorism investigations over the weekend. Police in England announced today they've arrested a third man in connection with the July 21st attempted bombings in London. They're also looking into links between London's bombers and terror cells in Somalia and Ethiopia. Professor Mark Sageman with the University of Pennsylvania has been studying al-Qaeda since its inception in 1988. He says connections between al-Qaeda and terrorist cells in countries around the world are indirect. I spoke with him earlier today.
This whole terrorist threat has evolved because of our success in destroying the training camps and communication between al-Qaeda Central and their followers. But the social movement, the violent Islamist born-again social movement, has increased. And so what we have now is randomly distributed attacks all over the world of freelancers who want to make a name for themselves. And the old al-Qaeda is now in a position to retrospectively accept or not the gift of those freelancers. Those freelancers, of course, do those operations in the name of al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda then can pick and choose which one they accept. For instance, they will not accept any operation that kills children. So they rejected Beslan, and I think they rejected last week's killing of about 25 Iraqi children.
What support, if any, do you think that the smaller freelancers, if you will, get from the established networks?
Well, I think that they want to be part of this whole movement, this jihad. And they get that from Al-Qaeda Central because they access this website anonymously. And, of course, the leadership can post goals, documents, directions on those websites. So the command and control is indirect through the Internet. And what they want to do, they just want to create a better world. It's very much like young people 30 years ago became communists for a similar ideal. They wanted to build a better world. They wanted to build a utopia. And they thought that joining the Communist Party would be that method. Now they turn to militant Islam.
You did a psychological assessment of the Madrid bombers. Can you tell us a little bit more about the kinds of families these people came from?
Madrid was actually a mixture of several groups. You had the students who came from foreign countries such as Morocco and Tunisia, who felt homesick and went to the mosque to find other Muslims and got into a group of militant people. And then you have a group of drug dealers who became religious and joined them. And they, of course, were the one who had the contacts to get the dynamite to do the horrors of March 11th in Madrid.
So what would you say are the implications of this looser network on the entire movement of suicide bombing and terror?
Well, that forces us to really fight it in two ways. One is that we actually do have to eliminate the people who are currently terrorists because they're not going to change their mind. The much harder task is to prevent the next generation from becoming terrorists. And this is very much becoming an ideological warfare.
Mark Sageman is an adjunct professor of psychology at Penn University's Solomon Asch Center for the Study of Ethnopolitical Conflict. He spoke to us from Philadelphia. Thanks very much for speaking with us, Dr. Sageman.
Thank you.